the new host of the CFL on TSN, Rod Smith, former offensive lineman, joins us. Rod, how are you?
Good, Jason. Robin, what a year! What a difference a year can make, eh?
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I'll say the panel got a lot bigger. That's for sure. A little bit, yeah, a little bit more meat.
Yeah, I was gonna say the. It was interesting the way they were phrasing that. Like, oh, we don't mean that against Dave. You know, Dave Randorf was a little bit smaller, but we started putting it that way instead of this large human coming in and, you know, weighing down the panel a little bit more. But if they say it adds weight, I'll take that in the best possible way I can.
Well, yeah, for sure. I guess that before we get to the Edmonton one, let's start in Ottawa, where it sounds like that city's, you know, there's a different feeling this time around than there was definitely when the Renegades came back in, isn't there?
Oh, I think there is. I mean, I wasn't living in Ottawa by then. I grew up in the city. I remember going back to the 73 Grey Cup when the Ottawa Rough Riders played the Eskimos, then back at CNA in Toronto. But that franchise declined, and by the mid-90s was done. I remember when the Renegades came back, even from my perspective here, though, it didn't have the same feel, you're right, that it does now. And I know they couldn't come back and use the Rough Rider name again. That would have been ridiculous in a 9-team league. But it was just nice to see for someone who understands what football was like in Ottawa back when they actually had a good team in the 70s, to see the R on the helmet again. I like that. I like the fact that they've tried to reach out a little more to the roots of Ottawa football, which had an extensive history. I like to see that. And no, I never got any of that feeling from ownership on down about the Renegade experiment, which ended after only 4 seasons and never a winning season. I hope this time around, they can be, you know, if they're not going to win at all, just or even make the playoffs, just to be competitive in year one would be a nice change from what they'd had before.
Well, the thing is, Rod, and you're old enough to remember this. I mean, Ottawa's a good football town. There's fans there just looking for a reason to cheer. And whether it was ownership or, I mean, on-field results are the bottom line. But let's face it, it was a schmozzle the last time out. This, like you said, is a totally different feel. And as long as this team shows up on the field and plays as well as it can, fans want wins, they always do. But this feels like more of a success story already, doesn't it?
I think it does. I definitely do. I mean, even going back to last week, I mean, it took the Eskimos a while to get it going, and they were clearly the better team in the end. But, I mean, Ottawa hung around. They had a good start as well in Winnipeg. If I was a fan in Ottawa, I would have seen enough in weeks one and two with a team on the road to say, okay, I think I'm going to have something to cheer for here with Burris and with Siobhan Walker especially on offense. But you're right, and I think, guys, Jeff Hunt is one person I would single out. I don't know the man, but I remember when the Ottawa 67s, once the Senators came into the NHL, I think there were concerns about what that was going to do to junior hockey in Ottawa, and he got a lot of credit for making it not only viable, but a much greater success story than it was before. I think he earned a lot of faith in the community, not only with fans, but also in the local corporate community. And I think it has helped having him involved. But the ownership situation now seems much more stable than it ever was, not only with the Renegades, but I remember, you remember the first installment of the Gliebermans back in the early 90s? That ended up just being terrible. I mean, the whole thing was a circus sideshow, and having a bad team on the field definitely didn't help. But that was the beginning of the end of the Rough Riders, and then it just never took off. I'm hoping it does this time around. I think it'd be good for the league.
Rod, tonight, of course, the marquee matchup of the week, and I don't think anybody thought that was happening at the start of the season. The Bombers and the Eskimos, the two worst teams in the league last year, right now looking like two of the best teams. I know Calgary's still ranked on the TSN power rankings as number one. But Bombers, Eskimos tonight, the Bombers have had two great comebacks to win two of their three games. The Eskimos have been slow starters. Who do you like tonight and why?
Well, this is such a tough call. I'm hoping it is as close as it looks like it should be. And, you know, maybe comes down to a Hira Lahu field goal or something like that. The Eskimo defense really impressed me in the last couple of games for the way they were able to mix it up. Odell Willis had that great game against Hamilton, and then to see the kind of pressure that Sewell was getting right from the start against Burris and Ottawa. I would lean towards Winnipeg only slightly, even though this thing is looking like a pick 'em, just because they're at home, they're expecting a sellout, and having been there in week one when they pummeled the Argonauts in a big surprise to get things started, I just thought even then when they only had, and I say only, about 25,000, the energy in that new building was absolutely great. But, you know, I'm not trying to earn the wrath of Eskimo fans here. I think Winnipeg does find a way to keep their great string started. But these two teams have so much in common from the coaches on down, even though their style's different, but rookie head coaches, young quarterbacks. I mean, Riley has just looked outstanding, and I just think it's a really, really close game, and it's a great story. I love to see teams that were down bounce right back up again, especially in football hotbeds like Edmonton and Winnipeg.
Yeah, exactly, Rod. I mean, in this business, you're looking for the storylines, and you touched on them right there. Two teams that have been on the mat for a while. It's a good start. It's only 3 weeks. Everybody gets that. That's one. The two new coaches who are striking out on their own, it's their show now. That's two. And I really like the parallels between Drew Willey and Mike Riley, two guys who now get their shot and are making the most of it.
Absolutely. And I tell you, I love Riley's game. Willey, I didn't know as much about because I don't know if any of us did, because with Durant in Saskatchewan, he had, what, four starts. I think he was 2-2 before he showed what he could do in that game against the Argos. And then, of course, after one game, you want to see if he can do it again, which he did. And then, they led that drive in Montreal last week, even though defense kicked in two touchdowns. Willie showed some poise in that touchdown, the winning touchdown drive to Fiola Godinho against the Alouettes in the last minute. Riley, I love the guy's game. I love the fact that even though I think he's been told to tone it down in terms of the running, slide more often, but he is, and it's interesting talking to Matt Dunnigan about him. I don't know if you'd call him a throwback, but a guy who he just looks like a tenacious young leader. You know, he has a good arm. He throws the ball well, and he makes that decision to take off too. And I think that Eskimo offense is going to continue to get better too, especially if with the targets he has, and if Darius Bowman can continue to have the kind of season he's having.
Well, the one thing about Bowman, we had him on the show, he feels he understands the game more because he's had to be forced to learn the cadence of, you know, what the signals are coming from the offensive line. And in this new offense, you know what, they don't go downfield as consistently as they did last year, and he's their best receiver on yak yards. You big physical guy. I won't be surprised if he's healthy, if he leads the league in catches, just because of the style of player he is and the style of offense they run.
Well, week one, 9 catches. Week three, 9 catches. In between, not as good a game for Bowman. But I agree, and I understand more of the knock of him, certainly when he was in Winnipeg, was hanging on to the football. I mean, that's something he's obviously worked on. But, I mean, you can get him in any kind of space, and you're right. I mean, that one, I think it was his first touchdown that got things going for the Eskimos last week against Ottawa, where he just had a nice cut inside and, like, beat his defender, and he was home free. I mean, probably a bit of a coverage mistake there by the Red Blacks, but still, he's impressive, his size, and what he can do after he catches the ball. And you're talking about a team that has Fred Stamps already, and that's a good receiving core. Riley's got something to work with there, and I'm very curious to see how that offense does going forward.
Well, the interesting thing, Rod, and you probably know this, what they've got now is they've got some dumps and some quick hits. It's not all or nothing, 15 yards or nothing. And,
right,
you know, you get the ball to Bowman a little bit downfield, he does the rest. The interesting thing about the Eskimo offense is we still haven't seen as much of Fred Stamps as people are used to seeing. You get both those guys going as options, you really got something on the go.
Absolutely. That's been, I guess, if there is a negative surprise, if you want to put it that way. I don't know if you would for a 3-0 team that hasn't involved Fred Stamps as much, but mainly, I mean, Bowman has been grabbing the headlines, and you're right. And I like to see quick-moving offenses that way. I like to see quick decisions, quick hitters by quarterbacks. Ottawa had been doing that. I don't know if you remember the first few series they had when they had that great start in Winnipeg. They looked impressive that way too. But yeah. I don't know. As I said, I'll be curious about both teams going forward, because I'm sure if you're an Eskimos fan or a Bombers fan, given what you had to endure last year, you might still be wondering when the bubble is going to burst here. And I don't think it bursts tonight. One of these teams has to lose anyway, barring the unlikelihood of a tie. So, but they both have given reason with the way they won. I think of the Eskimos in week one doing what they did in BC after falling behind. And maybe more so for Winnipeg, the character they showed in winning in Montreal last week, that I don't think they're going away. I mean, one has to take a loss tonight, but I think they're going to be right there in the end battling for first place, and I think the Stampeders are going to be there as well. It's going to be an interesting race.
The West, and then obviously the defending champs at some point you'd think would pick up the pace. The West definitely looks a little bit better early on than the East. Winnipeg probably wishes they were still in the East for at least another year. Rod, we'll be watching you all season long on TSN and talk to you often. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Jason. Robin, good to talk to you guys.